Hi. Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to develop a positive-minded outlook and have you better equipped for life and business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you'll put in the chest for another time, depending on when you will need to get it out. This week's tool is simplicity, and why it is important to simplify your life in order to attend to what is important and be able to handle life's challenges effectively and creatively. Being able to eliminate all unnecessary things and keeping it simple is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. Complex life becomes, the more people crave simplicity, whether it's in your work, relationships, health, finances, or leisure time. So let me show you how to unwind and improve the quality of your life. If you're feeling overpowered, overextended, and overwhelmed, it is time to get back to the basics. But first, we need to develop some awareness around what our current state is. Only by having awareness are we empowered to make other choices. Let's look at the use of your time and resources then. Are you living someone else's life or your own? I recently read an amazing book by Sam Polk called For the Love of Money. It is a vivid account of a senior trader for one of the biggest hedge funds on Wall Street, lost in the obsessive pursuit of money, who came to loathe the culture, the shallowness, and the measure of a man by his bank account and decided to walk away from all of it. And he is now the executive director of Grocery Ships, a nonprofit that helps low-income families struggling with obesity to get fresh, delicious, healthy meals. So we are not necessarily looking for such a radical shift, but if that is what you decide to do for your brand, for You Inc., then let's see how we can do it. Let us begin by examining our values. Ask yourself, what really matters? Your why? If you have really young children, for example, you may decide to cut out commitments right now and focus on your children. In the grand scheme of your life, they are only young and really dependent on you for about a decade. If the average lifespan is around 80, which is a record high, by the way, then we are looking at 1/8 of your life. My children, just this year, all in school now with my youngest in K, and my life is dramatically different now. But before they went to school, I took a career break in terms of working less in order to really enjoy those times when they were little, and I am so glad that I did. Plus, we were all very ready to go off to school when the time came. If your children are grown, conversely, you may decide that now is the time to do what you always wanted to do. Play the tuba, ballroom dance, woodworking, travel extensively, aerial classes. Maybe you take a hard look at your values and realize that what you really want to do is some volunteer work in the community, and you want to free up some time to do that, so you stop engaging in fantasy football. Whatever it is, write down the things that are important to you so that you establish your priorities using the contextual framework of those with whom you live and work, and begin to streamline, simplify your life in whatever way is meaningful and helpful to you. Another way you can simplify is to get rid of your stuff. Believe it or not, simply getting rid of things can have a dramatic effect on our inner world. We have so many things that are simply cluttering our lives. If you have a storage unit full of stuff, start there. In the book, The Joy of Less, Francine Jay says, "When our homes are overflowing with clutter, our souls take a back seat to our stuff." You can read more about how you can streamline your home for a minimalist mindset, but the great thing is you can give your things away to those you need. You can sell it. You can make some money to take a vacation because, by the way, experiences are things that bring us true joy, not things, as evidenced by research. You can join a free cycle page on Facebook. There are endless amounts of wonderful experiences you can have with this, all within your reach, literally and figuratively. Elaine St. James, who is the top expert in simplifying your life, who has written books which I highly recommend. And you can find the links to all the books and articles we reference here on You Inc. on wcbe.org/programs/you-inc, as well as the podcasts of previous shows can be found there and with our sister media outlet, CitySceneColumbus.com. St. James's books, Simplify Your Life, Simplify Your Work, and even Simplify Your Christmas, are very simple, classy, and useful. Elaine St. James even starts her book with a chapter dedicated to getting rid of clutter, as we had discussed. Her first rule, if you haven't used it in a year or more, get rid of it and enjoy the resulting feelings of liberation that come with that. Simplify Your Life by Elaine St. James is a book that I find tremendously useful, which provides 100 proven, practical steps for creating a simple and satisfying way of life. Some of my favorites are, don't buy clothes that need dry cleaning, move to a smaller house, sell the damn boat, turn off the TV, don't answer the phone just because it's ringing, don't answer the doorbell either, stop sending Christmas cards, work where you live where you work, split restaurant meals, make water your drink of choice, learn to laugh and meditate, trust your intuition, learn the joy of solitude, kick off your high heels and keep them off, stop carrying a large purse. Myself, I have abandoned purses altogether. It is so freeing not to carry around a ball and chain. And one other thing she recommends is stop making the bed, but don't tell my kids that. So get your plan together using some of the tips mentioned here today and in some of the resources shared, and start today, room by room, activity by activity, bit by bit, and you will get to the simplicity that you are striving for. Larry Smith is a name you already know. He launched Smith Magazine and the Six-Word Memoir Project in 2006, and a few months later, edited the first in a series of a collection of six-word memoirs, which is one way to simplify and get to the essence of your life. His first book was a surprise New York Times bestseller. Larry has spoken at companies such as ESPN, Google, Twitter, Dell, Shutterfly, Nationwide, Donatos, and on the power of personal storytelling, how to engage an audience, how a simple idea can make a big difference. His newest project just turned one this past May, called Six in the City, which he started in Columbus and involves telling the story of this city with six-word memoirs, and is based on the belief that he can change a city with just six words. He is married to Piper Kerman. Many of you might also be familiar with Jason Biggs' portrayal of him as Larry Bloom on the Netflix hit Orange is the New Black, which is based on his wife's book of the same name. And they have a child together and live in Columbus, Ohio, where today Smith continues to write openly about his life, running the storytelling magazine Smith. Welcome, Larry.
So good to be here today.
Larry, first question, why the number six?
The number six is surprisingly and simple and magical. So my work, which is largely around helping people express themselves, and I found this very simple tool called six-word memoirs. Mm-hmm. Can you tell the story of your life in exactly six words? And there's lots to say about that, but I'll keep it simple
okay.
for now. Why six words? There's a legend, a literary legend, that I'm sure many of your listeners know. As the story goes, Ernest Hemingway, that simple, muscular writer, was once challenged in a bar bet, where many literary legends happened, to write a whole novel in just six words. As the story goes, Hemingway came back with "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." The six-word novel was born, legendarily.
Huh.
I was very interested in user-generated content. Starting about 15 years ago, I was a journalist in magazines such as Men's Journal, ESPN, a bunch of magazines that are long gone. Mm-hmm. And I was always interested in people's real, true personal stories. Hard to get those stories into mainstream magazines.
Mm.
It's just, you know, people want celebrities or adventure stories. And usually, unless it's just a crazy story, real people's stories don't seem to move magazines off the newsstands
or
clicks. They do now. They sort of do. But this was a hard thing. So I left print magazines, and I worked on the web a little bit, and I started a Smith magazine with the motto that everyone has a story and should have a place to tell it. At the end of about the first year of doing Smith Mag, I wanted to come up with something that was even easier. So inspired by Hemingway, I challenged the then very small community at smithmag.net, now sixwordmemoirs.com, to share a story of your life in six words based on the Hemingway legend.
Uh-huh.
The idea that you had to really focus your life and come up with the six words that describe your life, people loved that constraint, that mm-hmm. simple little box. And in that box, you can do magical things.
Interesting. So I did not know about that legend, and it makes total sense. And I do like the idea of, you know, it's also something that seems like it's very achievable, especially when you're talking about younger writers as well, who may be daunted by some of those 2,000, telling your story in 2,000 words. It just seems like it's also very achievable and very appealing to people to come up with something kind of witty and crafty to put it together.
It is. It's achievable and appealing and very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And blank, we have many blank pages in our life. The computer screen, the actual page, chalkboards, and we're often asked to fill those pages. And
right.
that's very scary for all of us.
Right.
And the thing is this, we're all not plumbers or engineers at radio stations, but we're all writers. We have to at some point in our lives write.
Mm-hmm.
And writing is very scary for most of us. And I wanted to create a website where it was not so scary, an open platform to write, and you weren't judged. We don't have like ratings and things like
right.
that. And with six words, you fill that blank page and you like it, great. You can do more on the site. It's unlimited. Some people have done 10 and 15,000 six-word stories
wow.
about their life. It's an easy way in. And when people get the six-word bug, they do many, many. And also something very wonderful, which was always the plan, but it's happened better than expected. Six words is often the start of the story, not the end.
Right.
I like to say that the three important words around the six-word memoir project are also very simple words. Spark a story in you. Spark a story in someone else. That's why the six words is popular with veterans groups to talk about, well, what happened at the war? Oh, I don't know. You know what? Just start with six words and get your story going. Or a date.
Right.
Speed dating. Six words to describe yourself. Same thing with veterans. What happened at war? I don't even, you know, there's so much to say. I understand. So look, tell me one story in six words. Then let's back into a longer story.
Mm-hmm.
The third word is community. And the Six in the City, Columbus Project, is very much about community, which is that we have this simple tool of six words that can connect people. When you are at, let's say, the Columbus Arts Festival, and we have a very simple setup where there's clotheslines and it's a very simple sign.
Mm-hmm.
What's your Columbus story in six words? No explanation more is needed. Okay.
Right.
Maybe they know what it means, the six-word idea, the origin story. Maybe I talked to them for a while, but okay, it's Columbus in six words. And suddenly, people from all walks of life, every part of the city, are sharing their story. And I'm not changing a city in six words. I'm offering the tool.
Right.
We, the many citizens of Columbus, are telling the story to ourselves and connecting, and then out there to the world. Six words at a time.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed as in personal experience, having gone to the website, you know, you read them, you feel like it's fun, you build a lot of enthusiasm, you really want to participate. There's just something about that formula that's just extremely inviting. I really enjoy it. In an article I read in the Columbus Monthly about you, about the anniversary of your Six in the City project, you say, and I quote, "What does every Columbus resident have in common? Two things. We live in Columbus and we breathe. We're human. Just sharing those things is a lot." What I love is how you have this kind of propensity to distill things to its most basic and essential level. Have you always had the ability to have simplicity as part of your tools?
Well, the truth is, in many ways, I'm a wordy person, but this tool of simplicity. Now, when I came to Columbus, I knew very little about the city. I moved here because my wife asked me to for a book project she's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my work is travelable. I can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a curious person. I'd been in New York a while. So I said, sure, I'll go. So, hey, what's Columbus like? Oh, dude, there's so much to say. Okay, so I use my tool. Well, can you describe Columbus in six words? I originally hadn't thought about launching a citywide project. I just was asking, just kind of being playful. I do this thing called Six Word Memoirs. I wear a t-shirt. The t-shirt I'm wearing today is Now I Obsessively Count the Words.
Uh-huh.
That is my work t-shirt. I have another one, Carbohydrates Call My Name Every Day, which is very popular in the bakeries, Pistachio Vera, Fox in the Snow,
nice.
And such. And I asked people, well, can you describe one part of Columbus in six words? And they told me things like Well, Larry, I know you lived in San Francisco and Brooklyn, but and my friend Ken said, you know, I lived in L.A. and New York, so I know where you're coming from. I'm going to share six words for you. Bicoastal arrogance ends here in Columbus. Someone else said, small size makes big impact possible. You hear issues of a teenager in a workshop at OSU said, I don't feel safe at night here. And so that's a story. And that's a story that, and will that message get to the mayor's office, get to the city government? Maybe so, maybe not. But just standing in front of a room of peers and having the courage to say that, she's heard in some way. I was with the Harmony Project, that wonderful song and service project that David Brown runs that many people in Columbus know and love. And I went to a lot of the high schools he works with, and I told them about six-word memoirs. I said, all right, guys, talk for 2 or 3 minutes. Share a story of your life in six words. These are largely with juniors and seniors at these high schools. And at South High, a young woman got up on a stage in front of about 100 peers. She was pretty pregnant. It was obvious. And her six words were, yes, I'm pregnant, but I'm graduating.
Nice.
She owned her story, and she got applause. And there wasn't a person in that room who didn't feel her courage.
Yeah.
And her life.
And how she was empowered. So are you saying then that this six words tool has always been a part of your kind of your toolbox? So you've always had simplicity as something that you've utilized as a tool to kind of get to the essence of your life.
It's been in my toolbox for the last decade,
okay.
For sure.
Okay.
And as people say, do people write you emails and texts in six words? I'm like, yeah, people write me emails and texts in six words all the time. It's awesome.
Right.
Short stuff. Everyone likes to get to the point.
Right, right.
So simplicity is not only wonderful for the soul, but it's good for your work and your life.
Right.
And I would argue your relationship.
Right. Because, people just don't have time to kind of wade through those things. So it makes you a more effective communicator at work as well. Absolutely. So you talked a little bit about moving here from another city. So you moved from San Francisco to the East Village to Brooklyn, and now you moved to Columbus, Ohio. So I would imagine that the square footage of your living space kind of grew along the way. And as a native New Yorker myself, I know how important it is to eliminate clutter. And in fact, we discussed that as a pretty vital part to being successful in simplicity. So let's talk about, how do you manage your clutter? How is your possessions of things grown as you move? Did you purge each and every time? How do you manage your clutter?
It's very funny. There's an old George Carlin joke where he talks about a place for my stuff and all this stuff. It's like, so couldn't be more timely. And he said, do you ever notice, and I'll change the words for PG-13, radio station.
Sure.
He says, do you ever notice that your stuff is stuff, but everybody else's stuff is junk, right? So that's kind of like that, right? So anyway, my wife and I, we have different hobbies for things, right? So my large print magazine collection, which is heavy and no fun to move,
right,
is I keep them very neatly in binders, but she feels their clutter, and some of her things I feel not as necessary for my life. So moving is a great trick. So I loved moving. I'd been in the same apartment for about 10 years, maybe 12 years in Brooklyn. And even in a small square footage, somehow you find a lot of room for things, every inch, the beds, storage. And so that was great. And I love that rule that you mentioned about, if you haven't used it in a year, get rid of it.
Right.
So moving is a great way to purge. And I think that I've read this, other people's advice, and I really do believe that when you open a closet and every choice is a good one, every one of your shirts you like versus wading through them to get to the one you want, it's liberating. So that's been, the move was great. And I also have a rule that, it's just a silly rule, but I still do love print magazines, and airplane flights are nice for that kind of thing. I bring a bunch. And whatever's not read by the end of the flight, bye. So I give myself a limit, whether it's 2 hours or 5 hours, whatever the flight is. It's like, this is what you get.
Right.
And then on the way back, read a book, which is what you really should be doing anyway.
Right.
Right?
So you have a son. And I remember when my kids were little, and we were very cognizant of putting things away when we were done. And, even when we got new toys, I tried to get them to donate some of their old toys, that we made sure that we could keep the clutter down. But I also remember walking into other people's homes and seeing toys and chaos all over the place, and I would feel immediately alarmed and scattered. What would you say your parenting style is in terms of clutter and simplicity?
Well, what's so interesting about little kids is, their perspective is amazing, and everything people say about that, like, they were actually all right. Before I was a parent, I was like, oh, all that, that parenting wisdom. Like, come on, to the child's eyes. But, like, it's pretty much right. So at first, I must share that my son, the last book I did was The Best Advice in Six Words. And I asked him for his advice. And he knows all about six words. He's very versed in this. And he said, okay, my six-word advice is play, 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 play. You know?
I love it.
You can't get better advice than that. One of the things I've noticed is that, you know, the kids, they see things, they want them, their friends have things. Also, I don't know if you've seen this, but they never want to get rid of anything, like a receipt or like a roll from the toilet paper. It's all somehow, no, can't get rid of that. They love, my kid loves menus, and I don't know why.
I have experienced this.
They love that, but when you sneak it out of the house or into recycling, they don't miss it. And with the toys, they want a toy really badly, and then you don't get it for them, and then they forgot they wanted it 3 days later. So I think it's important not to get caught up in their brains, which, by the way, move so quickly. They're on to the next thing.
That's true.
You can't, first of all, economically and environmentally, who wants to play that game, right? Mm-hmm. Just the stuff. But also, their brains are changing so mm-hmm. quickly. And what they wanted so badly 3 days ago doesn't matter. And for us, it might be that phone we needed so badly 2 years ago. Who really cares, right? And so we have a longer, we have a slower situation. So that's one thing. And, you know, we simply, I think we're pretty good about limiting what we allow in and out. He never likes it. We just sneak it out.
Right.
Under the cover of night, we sneak it out.
That's very good advice. In your essay on Medium.com, you described how your conversations with your wife were unique when visiting her. You say, we did not talk about real estate or the latest Atlantic Monthly article about how to raise moral children or schedule time when we could sync up our schedules. But rather, you said we had long, sometimes weird conversations about what was going on in her life and mine. You mentioned that you enjoyed each other in some ways that you haven't since. So I guess what I want to know is this where you think the true value of simplicity lies in having these really meaningful moments?
Well, so I wrote this essay on Medium.com about what it was like to have your then fiance, now wife, go to prison mm-hmm. and then, oddly enough, have a TV show made about based on her life. She wrote a memoir, Orange is the New Black, that became a TV show. Mm-hmm. And especially since the show came out, people would ask me these questions. What was that like? What's it like to actually have someone sort of play you on TV? Jason Biggs, who plays Larry Bloom. And I didn't really write about any of that. I felt like she wrote her book and I just kind of kept that space there. I wrote a few things over the years about it for the Modern Love column of the New York Times, but I pretty much kind of let it be. But then I thought, I've been asked about this so much. I will write it once, and I wrote it long for Medium.com, like 10,000 words, put a period on it, and there, that's what I have to say. And in that essay, I did talk about how I would visit Piper almost every week in the visiting room in Danbury, Connecticut. And that's a very intense and emotional time to visit your fiance or whoever it is that you love in that prison. And when you have a limited time, so visiting hours might have been like, you know, 5 hours a day, and we might have 3 hours together by the time I got there or whatever it was. And you have a limited menu from the vending machine, you know, pretzels, Diet Coke, the frightening frozen chicken wings that you could microwave. And we didn't do it, but once a friend came and we were like, wow, you're going for the wings. And he did nuke the wings. Popcorn. It's the woman I love and me across a wobbly plastic table and uncomfortable chairs, mm-hmm. and all we have is each other for the best hours of both our weeks. Mm-hmm. And so you really do get down to what matters. Mm-hmm. How are you? And it's not just how is she, but how am I, right?
Right.
How are you? You know, what's on your mind? How can we help each other? What's going on? There is no, just the ephemera is important. Sure, we can't all live like intensely every moment, but there is no ephemera. There is no like syncing schedules and what's the hot new restaurant or, you know, how's that composting going? All important. But it was just about her and me and getting through this thing together. And you don't want to recommend that kind of situation, a loved one in prison to have to get there. But it does teach you, it does give you a tool to kind of try to bring back. And so, you know, you do things. You take that walk in nature, maybe without your kids sometimes, maybe without your devices, and just talk. You agree simply not to discuss just some of the things, you know, that help that we need to get through the week, just the scheduling, the things, who's going to the supermarket. Sure. Put them in a box. You got to get to them, sure. So I think part of simplification is just giving yourself some rules, some simple rules. I mean, I think, you know, none of us can be trusted to not have a few rules to live by. You know, we can call these mottos or commandments or
mantras,
right? So if we give them better names like that than rules, you know, nobody wants to live by a rule book. That's no fun. But mantras and just writing these things down is really helpful. I mean, how many of us have some little inspirational mantra that we, you know, on our computers, or a fortune cookie that was kind of good for some reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
We save ours.
One of my favorite was written by someone who works at a hospice center, which hers is living life backwards, learning to play. I mean, those six words, I think she's saying, I just took too long to figure that out.
Nice. So Henry Thoreau was someone who was kind of like the master of simplicity. He writes about sitting in a doorway from daybreak until noon. And even Sam Polk, what's the book, For the Love of Money, made mention of this kind of passage, that is something that he found terrifying and that he might go mad from boredom. Which one of these sentiments resonates with you more? The being kind of still for hours and hours, or that it might drive you crazy, because you seem like you too are a master of simplicity. So which one of these kind of sentiments seems more of who you are?
I truly don't believe in boredom. I think if you have an imagination and also perhaps a book, there's no such thing as boredom, right? I just don't get it.
Gotcha.
I know some people say they're bored, and I understand when kids are very little, they can be bored, but I just don't understand how sentient human beings can be bored.
Gotcha.
Right? I work hard and not nearly as successful as I'd like to be to have quiet space. One of the great things about Columbus for me has been my yoga practice has never been better. I got to Columbus in January 2015, and it was a very cold winter, many of us will remember.
Yes, the polar vortex.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, and I knew two people, and neither very well. Thought to myself, this January can go one of two ways. Way too much red wine, or I should just start doing a lot of yoga. I did yoga. You know, I had a practice in Brooklyn for years, but not that active, really. And I sort of did both, frankly. But I did a lot of yoga. And the thing about yoga is, some by myself, but I like to be in groups. I like to kind of be alone together, you know?
Yep.
Is there's an energy in the room, which is good for me. Just not everyone needs that, but I like that. There is a schedule, and there's a Simon Says situation. The yoga teacher tells you to do this, you do that. And they call it a moving meditation, and it truly is. At some point, I forget I'm in class, but I'm just doing it. Somehow I'm hearing things and doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm sort of in my own head, and no matter what music is playing or chatter or something the yoga teacher is saying, it is kind of a quiet time for me.
I'd like to close with something I came up for a Six in the City for you and CBUS.
Okay. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Thank you for everything, Larry Smith.
It's a pleasure to talk today.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I got to get back to something simple, just to save yourself. Well, you got to keep it simple, just to, and that's that. Oh, you got to keep it simple nowadays, and that's just that. Oh, 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 you got to keep it simple nowadays. That's just the way it is. And you got to keep it simple these days, cause that's the way it is. Well, you gotta keep it simple, and that's that.
And now, a word from our person on the street. So, Lindsay, tell me what your thoughts are on simplicity.
So some of the things that come to mind are, like, in today's world, things can be very complicated. Mm-hmm. And the more it's complicated, the more our mind is cluttered. So the simpler we can make things, the easier life becomes. And one of the things that I automatically think of is how people are moving into tiny houses.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's so much simpler to live in a tiny house. And I've also heard the phrase, a cluttered house is a cluttered mind.
That's true.
So the less you have, the simpler things become, the less you have to think about, and the more you can focus on the simple things in life. Like when I was walking outside the sunset that I saw, it was a beautiful pink. It's just the little simple things in life that you can take the time to enjoy when things are less complicated.
So after the kids grow up, are you going to move into a tiny house?
It's a definite possibility. We've definitely talked about living in an RV.
Nice.
And traveling around the world doing that, or around America.
Okay. You could probably take an RV to another country by the time the kids are grown up.
This is true. This is true. You probably could. You probably could now.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much. And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Maria Greif, and you've been listening to You, Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.